100 things I don't want to miss each day. Thank you, Halsey. We had to give special thanks to Halsey. I will not miss a day. To one, pray. Two, say I love you. Three, touch something green. Four, listen with my whole self. Five, do something kind for someone. Six, learn something new. Seven, know I am not defined by my mistakes. Eight, tell a good story. Nine, keep criticism to myself. 10, my list continues. Crying for the dead. I would cry for you, Randy Alexander, age 5. Kenya McPherson, 18 months. Valerie Christian, age 21. I would cry for the 28 nameless protesters who marched to their death in a Black South African homeland, and for the brown woman and her unborn baby girl who were part of a crowd that was sprayed with maddening gunshots and terror. I would cry for the 10 dead in Buffalo, New York, from actions labeled as a racially motivated crime. But who needs the foolish tears of a grown woman crying into a heap of already yesterday's news? My own dead might bring cause for tears, an expected grieving wail, loud and unencumbered. Let it out, child, let it out. Cleanse your sorrows in a river of tears. But for the everyday dead, there's no time for crying. Tomorrow, the names will be replaced with a new list. The next day, with yet another. And it will go on like that. It has always been like that. Is it wrong to comfort? Is it wrong that words of comfort are brought and sold as a commodity in an untapped market? How else could those of us left living forgive ourselves for the unasked prayers, for the unspoken words of praise? We trade our silence for tears and hope to reclaim the world's lost vision. It's two glasses or not glasses, so. And I have glare. American Traveler's Guide to Negro Monuments. We always left in the middle of the night. Daddy would fold maps spread out on the dining room table, tuck them into the glove compartment and pack the car. We would pile in spaces designated with invisible barriers and old eiderdownish pillows. His goal, to be nearing Cincinnati for the first mid-morning stop. We never knew there was a method to our trip down south, a reason for what we anticipated, logic for what excited us beyond our desires to go. A full tank of gas, two thermoses, one hot for coffee, one cold for Kool-Aid, a packed picnic basket, boiled eggs and bacon strips for breakfast, sandwiches wrapped in wax paper, fried chicken secured in Mama's prized Tupperware, and fruit for the side of the road picnic table lunch stops. We traveled gingerly and gaily on the outskirts of the perceived South, took carefully sustained and familiar roads. In the car, everything became a game. Be on the lookout for the Esso or Gulf or American Oil gas stations. Our keen eyes peering over the fast moving terrain. Daddy slowed down for cows and horses, sped up to move over bridges. Was this the sign my parents looked for? A warn, as you ask us as you travel. Safe stop along the highway, not too far from main roads. Were they glad? We were too distracted to notice or too young to know the meanings of for whites only, or for colors, an arrow pointing around the corner where we held our breath, stood wide-legged in a stall, or squatted on the wooden bench above a cavernous hole of the outdoor roadside rest stop. Mama wipes our hands with her pre-soaked washcloths, ushers us back into the car. We must make the midpoint stop before dark. You know, you don't have to be quiet or, you know, it's fine out there, you know. It's fine. Yell, shout, scream,
clap. We love you.
Thank you. That's not what you do. Among the missing. Girl who shares my name is missing. The 17-year-old child of some mother in anguish of not knowing did not come home. And now her picture hangs on this wall with a dozen other pictures of missing. I hear voices speaking our name in the largeness of what we do not understand. They call out, daughter, where are you? Daughter. They are prepared to keep calling until you answer. I wake with worry, and our only connection is this name. Somehow thrown away on a snowdrift in the deep winter, frozen solid in the seasonally below cold nights. If you were my child, I'd check your room for drafts. Wrap an extra blanket over your body, just covering your head and the mass of hair on your pillow. I'd watch you readjust your body, then turn to do the same to your sister who already anticipates our ritual. If you were my child, how long ago would you have stopped playing hide and seek and catch me games? Would I have been the watchful eyed mother on the bench at the edge of the playground, listening for the ollie ollie income free chant as the game ended, or was I never there? If you were my child, would I see signs of what pushed you away, or would my hold to a dream promise be illusion, blurring our vision of tomorrow will be different? When would I have noticed that you had already been taken to another place of shelter in this storm? Where do you look for missing and lost? This is not like the glasses that I retrace my steps through lived-in rooms and find carelessly placed next to today's mail. This is not like the keys or cell phone that are swallowed daily into the vast inside carry-on bag. You don't lose a whole person, do you? Daughter, can you hear us calling your name? Name in the prayer box on the altar. For 22 weeks, a fresh piece of paper is placed in the box. We pray. We wait to find you among the missing. Bread baking. Bread baking was my way back into myself and out again. The steady knee, heel palm lift, and gentle thrusts, flower dust on sleeves and usually in my hair. Sometimes I can almost feel my mother's eyes watching over my shoulder, her hands guiding my hands into the soft mound on the kitchen table. Mama taught all her children how to knead dough, and she would coat her fingers and pastry cloth with an even layer of white. Her hands moved with ease. The ritual had begun and ended with a second rising of oven-ready bread, a warmth worth the wait. Bread bakers are food givers. For a woman to share her food is to share her wealth. Abuse her table, and you abuse her as well. Food is strength. It is power. It is history passed down like an heirloom treasure. It is lineage, a continuance passed on like a name. Learn to bake bread, and you learn the lessons of patience, of persistence, and discipline. Learn to make bread, and you know the elements needed for strong mind's growth, for nation building, and for love. Waiting for familiar. For a moment, I did not know the road. The dark had taken over when memory stopped, but I kept driving, waiting for familiar signs, bumps, bends, curves that would take me home. For a moment, the night and the rain had missed away safeness, all cognition. I thought I was lost. I thought, this must be how she felt. That day, I found her in the middle of the street, her hat hiding uncombed hair. She wore her slip on the outside of a floral printed house dress, one stocking loosened from its knot below her knee, was bunched at her ankle. She was on her way somewhere before she was stopped, lost among familiar signs. She looked at me without perception, as if I had the face of a stranger. She backed away like a frightened child. I took her hand. Grandmother, let's go home. Letting go. It's not supposed to be easy, this loosing of self, the choosing good and useful artifacts from among the clutter that defines your episodic existence. Act like no one is watching, not even you, and let go. I needed that for myself. Let's go. I feel like the mic said when he's just breezing through this stuff. I timed and everything too, but
No worries.
Then I'm gonna put this back in right here, okay? If there are no worries. And I just want to thank everybody, you know, just for, you know, coming and sharing, and you know, just the richness of what's been shared this evening. I really have been fed, you know, very well, and I appreciate that my fellow readers tonight. Rock Top, rewriting a nameless woman's story. What do you tell a sister caught in the white light of judgment? What do you say when she walks in your house for that morning cup of coffee and her story precedes her, the street and all its business in your face? Act as if you do not know and wait for her weighted release as she stirs cream into liquid, as she lifts the cup to face and allows the aroma to reach her nose before carefully taking those first sips. She readies herself and leans back into the chair at your kitchen table. Her voice barely audible. You heard, didn't you? She looks you square in the face, her eyes a tear swell as you nod and speak your affirmation. The silence between you bridges so much that was loud and bold, deliberate defiance of what you knew was right. Places you've been told not to go, but end up anyway. You think to yourself, it could have been me. Would you be the sister safe space with heart words? I hear you talking, ignore crowd murmurings, grapevine truths, and push what happened girl curiosities aside. Today, when she comes for fresh baked muffins and coffee, looking for the woman she would have been on any other morning, satisfaction on her face, ready to share details of man talk between women, always open for debates on wrongs and rights. Will you recognize that now she is lost to that self? Will never go back on the promise she made. This time is different from the first, second, third chance resolutions. Broken as a yearly ritual, she speaks, her voice clear, her tone lucid. I didn't think it would be so simple. The struggle against struggle was my own doing and undoing. There he stood, like a loving father, giving instruction to a disobedient daughter. Go and sin no more. Released from a dream of horrors, he sent me home. You listen as she speaks, her words, your mouth, one prayer, a shared salvation.
That was if I had been, you know, in the space where the woman caught in adultery in the Bible, you know, that's the day after. Here she's sitting with us. I don't throw things away, but perhaps one day I will. Maybe when we are gone, someone looking for fabric or pieces of quilt will find these unfinished poems. The words would have gathered the smell of things cherished, like the book of poems my father gave me that summer before I was grown, though close to 30 by some clock in distant meter. The pages had the flavor of cedar and polished leather that lingered on all of his things. Once, while shining his brass and boots, he stopped to show me both sides of an old coin given to him by his father's father. This has value, he said, and closed it back into his green army trunk with a 1950 annual, an unclasped strand of pearls, and his bits of fortune. Whenever I open the book and find his scent, I know why I have become the collector of words and music and stamps and corner treasures. So I started with a list of things that I want to do each day. And I'm going to end with my list of necessities. God, water, peace, brisk walks, pen and paper, green things to eat, you, time for solitude and reflection, music, healing words, the laughter of children, a warm bed at night, apples and apple pie, the comfort of your arms, sensible shoes, a map of the world and a passport. God's will be done in my life. Books to read and enjoy. Family, sunrises and surprises. The ability to forgive. You. Thank you.